Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, two texts, Matthew 1:21. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then from this morning's Gospel, Luke chapter 3. Now when all the people were baptised, and when Jesus also had been baptised and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Lord, sanctify us in the truth, your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, we'll begin with a modern parable, if we could have that up, which I picked up from another pastor. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get out. An empathetic person came along and said, "I really feel for you down there." A rationalist walked by and said, "It's logical that someone would fall down there. They should have put a fence around that pit years ago." The Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into pits." A Buddhist said, "You must have had bad karma from a previous life to end up down there." A mathematician calculated how deep the pit was. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit." A Christian scientist observed, "The pit is just in your mind." A psychologist noted, "Your mother and father are to blame for your being in that pit." A self-esteem therapist said, "Believe in yourself and you can get yourself out of that pit." An optimist said, "Things could be worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." But Jesus, seeing the man, climbed down into the pit with him, put him on his back, and carried him out. For Jesus means saviour. He will save his people from their sins. St. Paul tells us Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And St. John tells us, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Our gracious Father, our gracious Saviour, took our human nature on himself. He became flesh and blood just like us. Flesh and blood just like us. He climbed down into the pit with us, put us on his back and carried us out. In our gospel for this morning, the sinless Son of God identifies with us sinners. He doesn't need to have his sins washed away in baptism. He wasn't born with a hard, self-centered, stony heart. But for our sake, he took our sins on his shoulders. He climbed down into the pit, into the Jordan River, and insisted that John must baptize him. He who knew no sin became a sinner for us, so that through him we might become righteous. On Epiphany Sunday some years ago, I had the privilege of preaching at the annual reunion of former Papua New Guinea missionaries. We celebrated Jesus' manifestation to the wise men from the east, those men from Persia or that vicinity who came to Jerusalem seeking the King of the Jews. Those wise men represent all nations without exception, need the Star of Bethlehem that points us to Jesus, the bright morning star, the light of the world. In the person of these wise Persians, the nations come to the light of Christ. Kings come to the brightness of his rising. As we sing in one of our Epiphany hymns, Jesus was manifested by the star to the sages from afar. All nations need the light of Christ because the whole human race has fallen into the pit called sin. Now, contrary to what most people believe, including many Australians, sin and self-indulgence don't lead to happiness and good times. No, sin causes misery, alienation from God and from each other and from God's good creation. It leads to heartache, pain, sickness, sorrow, anger, hatred, bitterness, violence, death, condemnation and hell. All of us need Jesus to rescue us. All need to be baptized into Christ, the one who, as we sing, was manifest at Jordan Stream, prophet, priest, and king supreme. At our annual Papua New Guinea reunion services, we always thank God for his gracious blessing on the Lutheran Church of Australia's mission work in Papua New Guinea, where many thousands were brought to the light of Christ and had their sins washed away in baptism. Our gracious God has continued to bless the LCA's outreach to other nations like Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and so on. Wherever Christ is named, people's lives are brightened and they find a fullness of joy. It's sad to say Christian mission work often gets a bad rap in our secular world. There are many voices in our media, in our universities, and our society that love to run down missionaries. At the same time, they romanticise the lives of people without Christ, as if these people were completely happy and lived in perfect harmony with their environment and with each other, until those awful missionaries came along and destroyed their culture. Some people even say it's shameful to try to convert indigenous peoples to Christianity and bring them to holy baptism. Now, we can give many examples to show how mistaken these critics are. Certainly, we can thank God for the many fine aspects in most traditional cultures. The living God has shown his kindness to all nations, as St. Paul said, giving them rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, sanctifying their hearts with food and gladness. He provides people around the world with skills, with arts and crafts and useful customs. But there's also a dark side in every culture that's without Christ. Before the light of Christ came to Papua New Guinea, the people lived what the old missionaries from Neuendettelsau in Germany described. They lived a fear-filled life. Fear of the spirits, fear of their enemies, fear of sorcery, and so on. One pioneer missionary in the Western Highlands, where we lived for many years, told how tears came to his eyes and the eyes of fellow mission staff when, for the first time, they saw children walking from one village to another without an armed escort. All cultures, including the culture of our European forefathers and mothers, have no hope and no peace. Indeed, they've fallen into the pit of sin until that wonderful day when our sins are washed away. The day when, in St. Luke's words, the rising sun comes to us from heaven to shine on those in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I'd like to conclude by quoting a report by two missionaries of the London Mission Society that worked for many years in Port Moresby, the southern coast of Papua New Guinea, and many Pacific islands. Back in the 1820s, these two men, Tyerman and Bennett, spent 8 years on an official visit to London Mission Society stations around the world. First, they visited the islands of Tahiti. Although the islanders had been involved in perpetual warfare, cannibalism and infanticide, the missionaries who'd been sent there were able to show that the gospel had brought about a miraculous change. Old enemies were living in peace and the people themselves had become willing missionaries to bring Christianity to neighbouring islands. Now, the story goes that sea captains and sailors, who often criticised missionaries — now, why did they criticise missionaries? Why did sailors who visited Tahiti and those Polynesian islands, why were they so critical of missionaries? They were afraid that the missionaries were criticising their lifestyles because all the free love that these sailors were enjoying and always looking forward to on these islands. Not being sufficiently aware not only of the sinful nature of these this free love, which they thought was available to them in those islands, but also the syphilis that they were bringing to these places, the terrible effects that that was having. Anyway, the story goes that whenever they were shipwrecked, sailors were shipwrecked among the reefs of the Tahiti Islands and made it to the shore, they would pray that the missionaries had been there before them and the people had given up their cannibalism. It's often been said by enemies of Christianity that the preaching of the gospel of the forgiveness of sins has no meaning for non-European people, that the only message that can help disadvantaged people is a practical message that shows them how to improve their material lives. As one man said to us, a German staff person said to us once, "Oh, bringing the gospel to these people doesn't really help them much. All we can do is encourage them to build more trade stores." Tyman and Bennett, these two London Missionary Society representatives, were familiar with this criticism and did not agree with it. For them, the message of the missionary must be the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. They give us proof in their journal, the example of the Polynesian men and women who, as heathen, had killed their own children. There was one chief in Raiatea who had killed 19 of his children before the arrival of the mission and was now besieged by nightmares. Likewise, there were women who had strangled babies for other women. They declared that they often seemed to have their murdered children before their eyes, and their own wickedness appeared so great that sometimes they thought it could not be pardoned. But then again, they have heard that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And this preserved them from falling into despair. Their hearts and their eyes overflowed with gratitude when they acknowledged the mercy of God. May the Holy Spirit make our hearts and eyes overflow too with gratitude for God's rich mercy to each of us in the gospel of his Son. Gratitude for that wonderful mercy poured out on us in our baptism. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.